Well, if we look back to the chapter we have just read from Exodus chapter 36, at this point we're drawing towards the close of the book of Exodus, having spent the last months reading the book together on Sunday mornings and hearing sermons on the book of Exodus. What is happening at this point in time is that what God has instructed for the tabernacle is now taking place. What God instructed for the tabernacle, the place where God would meet with his people, a way that God had given that he was saying to his people, I am with you, I am your God, you're my people. We remember that the tabernacle was a portable building. The people were in the wilderness. God was accommodating himself to his people. He was going with them. That's the wonderful message that we receive in the Bible, isn't it? The wonderful message that we receive as we come to know Jesus Christ as our Saviour and to follow him in faith, his promise, I am with you. And wherever you go, he is with you. He is Emmanuel, God with us. The passage that we have read in Exodus 36 is one which is filled with what these men did in building the tabernacle. If there's anything that strikes us about this chapter, it is when we compare it with the instruction that God gave in Exodus chapter 26, when Moses was on the mountain and God gave Moses the instruction for Moses and for the people to build the tabernacle. When we fast forward here to chapter 36, what we read here is that those instructions that God gave to Moses were followed absolutely with precision, with accuracy. That what God said the people were to do, they did. And they followed what God said and they did what God said. Actually, when we look at the sweep of the scripture, we think of the whole of the scripture and God's relationship to man and man's relationship to God. This is one of the few places in the scripture where we see the people doing exactly what God has told them to do. And so we want to try to see what it is that is making this happen, what is bringing this about, how it is that what God has said is being done. Because this is the matter that comes up from the Garden of Eden and following, when God gave instructions to Adam and Eve, but they disobeyed God and they didn't do what God said, and death came into the world. But God, in his goodness and his kindness, returns and he finds a way to restore people to himself, and he finds a way for them to do now what they were not doing before, which is to obey God, to be faithful to God, and to love God, and to know God's love for them. The first verse is helpful for us here then, as we're inquiring as to how it was the people were now doing what God had said. And when we read this verse and reflect back on also what was said previously in the previous chapter, Bezalel and Oholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. How is it that the instructions God gave were followed? Well, the first matter was that the instructions were relayed. What God said was passed on. Moses was passing on what he had heard. And so the instruction is given to do in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. And then when we read back into the previous chapter, in chapter 35, verse 31, we read here an expression of what was happening that helps to fill out what is said in verse 1 here. In verse 1, we have in shorthand what is said more fully in chapter 35, verse 31. You see in chapter 36, verse 1, there it says, the Lord has put skill and intelligence to them to do this work. And back in verse 31, he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill and with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship. How is it that now that these men are doing what God has said, when the story, so much of the story, has been that they have not been doing what God has said, but even doing the opposite? Think of when Moses came down from the mountain and the people were worshipping a golden calf instead of the living God. How is it now that that God's will is being followed? It says because God has given his Holy Spirit to these men. He has given his Holy Spirit to his people. We find that in doing what God desires, this is a question then for us as well, isn't it? That what is it that God desires, and how is what God desires done? What is it that God desires, and how is it done? And what we find here in this first verse, and reflecting back to chapter 35 and verse 31, that there is a unity between the Holy Spirit and God's command. A unity between the Holy Spirit and God's command. So if we are interested in the Holy Spirit, and we are interested in the Holy Spirit as Christian people, our attention then is drawn to, what has God commanded with his word? What has he said to us in the Bible? But so often it's the case that that's where attention is not being drawn. It's seeking another way of finding out what God wants. But there is one way that we find out what God wants. It's given to us by his Holy Spirit, breathed out by his Spirit, breathed out, written for us with his word. This was true of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8, that give us an insight into the inner life of Christ, his relationship to God. We read in John's Gospel that he was given the Spirit without measure, that it's not that a part of the Holy Spirit was given to him as if that were possible, but Christ lived fully by the Holy Spirit, and thereby living in the Holy Spirit, he is drawn to the commands of God, to the written word, to the scripture. Behold, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. Back in those days, it was scrolls. The word of God was written on scrolls. We have it. We have it bound up for us in a book, and we can be thankful that we have it bound up for us in a book that we can carry with us and we can buy in a shop. And back in those days, very, very few people would have been able to buy a Bible. It would have been so expensive to buy a Bible. And a Bible would have taken so much. You need a large house to have a Bible in it, because it was written on these large scrolls. Behold, I have come, the precious word of God, and the scroll of the book it is written of me. And then here we have these words of Christ. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. So we see there is this intimate connection between the will of the Holy Spirit and what God has commanded in his word. And this is where we are drawn to ourselves as we hear further from the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given to me, but raise it up on the last day. And so when we are, when our minds, well, what is God's command? What is this command that is given in the written word of God? And the command that is written in the word of God is that he would send his son and he would raise his people up, all who come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He would raise us all up on the last day. The Father's will that the Son would save us from our sins through his death on the cross. He would die. He would die so that he would rise. He would die so that he would rise, so that through faith in him, when we die, we shall also rise too with him in glory and be assembled with him at his throne forever, worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ together. We anticipate that day gladly with faith in him. We read then of the connection between the Holy Spirit and God's command. We also read further to that of the sufficiency that there is for the work. The sufficiency that there is for the work. Read this in verses 2-7. Verse 5. Moses was told, the people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. You and I may wonder, how was it that this wandering people who were wandering through the wilderness had these provisions? Where did they get them from? We don't know exactly, but we know that they had them, that God had provided for them, and that then with what God had provided, they were able to bring what God had desired for the building of the tabernacle. What happened here was that the offerings were given, and the offerings were sufficient for what God had commanded to be built, the tabernacle, and everything was there to do what God had said. Everything was supplied and no more was needed. The offerings that were given were sufficient for the work. It's a pleasure to hear that, isn't it? The sufficiency of what was needed. No more needed. There is enough, and there's more than enough. There's more than enough for this work. God had been at work among the people, quietly giving them the will to do his will. His people are willing in the day of his power, and there was an abundance there. So the command was given to build, and the people built. And it leads us then to ask to inquire about the sufficiency that we find for what God says in his word for ourselves as well, there's a sufficiency for what God has called us to, which is to live with faith in Christ and faith in obedience to him and to his word. That God here supplied, he provided, and we're told that there was more than what was sufficient for the people here. We can ask the question, should there be anything that God says we are to do in his word that we find we are not doing or think that we cannot do? There is much that we might well feel inadequate for, in keeping also with what the scripture says. Who is sufficient for these things? But then there is the word, my grace is sufficient for you, my strength made perfect in weakness. God supplied for the people, and the people were listening to God, and they were here depending on him. And that's the message that is given to us then to follow for ourselves as well. That's the way in which Jesus Christ also lived, by independence upon the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. And we have a great Saviour in Jesus Christ, where we find ourselves to be inadequate. He is sufficient, and he is more than that also. As there was on this occasion, more than what was needed to do what God had said, so also Christ. In Christ, there is this abundance in Christ. There is a sufficiency in Christ for us, and an even more than sufficiency for us in Jesus Christ. In Christ, there is our help. In Christ, there is an abundance to help us to do what God desires. And there is more than what is needed. And we can say that, can't we? That we have found more in him than what is necessary. There is one thing necessary, Jesus said. He was directing He was directing Mary to the Lord Jesus Christ, or directing Martha, I should say, to the Lord Jesus Christ, as he directs us also to himself. There is an abundance in him. There is more in him than what we can ask or think. This is where the scripture ministers to us, for it speaks from cover to cover of the sufficiency and the abundance of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 12. O Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for you have indeed done for us all our works. You have indeed done for us all our works. From Christ, God's will for us is revealed. He draws us to his word quietly, silently. He takes us to his word to see what God has commanded. And then he brings us to depend on himself for its fulfillment. We receive from him his word, his commands. We receive then in his goodness towards us the will to do what God desires, and the means also to accomplish it, which is by his Holy Spirit. And we have in him an abundance, so that when we fall, which we do, we go astray, we go wayward, we get lost on the way, but he is sufficient and more than sufficient. So he draws us back to himself, and he supplies what is needed for us. He lifts us out of the pits that we get ourselves into, and he provides the forgiveness of sins for where we have sinned against him. For with him is the forgiveness of sins. So there is sufficiency for us in the work. And then, thirdly, the tabernacle built, verses 8 to 38 of the chapter here. We see then that what God has said is now done. The tabernacle is actually built. Again, you can, in your own time, read this chapter and read chapter 26 and see just how closely, absolutely, the instructions are followed to the dot of an I and to the stroke of a T. What God has said is done. There's no deviation at all here from what God has commanded, not in the slightest degree. God's will was followed, and here the example was given for us to follow as well. It was by their dependence upon God that they accomplished what God had said for them to do. And living then in accordance with what God has revealed with his word, what God has written in the scripture. So then, when I ask the question, I come to learn of God and to know that there is God, and that there is the Saviour Jesus Christ, and that he has come for me and to die for me. He has saved me. Now the question comes, well, what now? What do I do? What do I do? Where do I go? And where the Lord Jesus draws us to is to his word, to the same place that he was drawn to himself, to the written word of God. And so what does God want for me to do, and what does he wish for you to do as a Christian? You and I, we acquaint ourselves with his word. We read his word. We we seek dependence upon God in reading it, that we may understand it, and we depend on Him to follow it. This is where we go, and we love to go there because God has loved us. He has given His Son Jesus for us. And so we love to hear of the Lord Jesus, and we love to hear of His word, and He helps us in the course of life. When we read the Bible, we find that there are things that it tells us what to do, and we find that there are situations where it doesn't tell us exactly what to do. The Bible is not a kind of it's not a kind of computer code that is fed in any more than we are computers. We are machines that simply need to be programmed. That's not the way that God has made us. He's made us in His image. He's made us for Himself, for communion, for fellowship with God, for day-by-day life with God. We are made to think and to act and to do and to depend upon God, to depend upon His Son, Jesus Christ, and to live for Him. And there are things that the Bible does tell us about the future. It tells us, for example, there's the great truth of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is to come. And there's also, tells us that we won't know what will happen tomorrow. It prepares us for that. We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. But what it does tell me and you as well is, while it doesn't tell you and I exactly what is going to happen tomorrow, it tells you and I what you and I can count on tomorrow. You can count on God being with you. You can count on the Lord Jesus Christ caring and loving for you and seeking you and living for you as He lives for God. And there's the Word of God, which is given, and the Lord Jesus ministers to you and I with it. And with it, what He does is He gives a foundation. He gives us help, principles for today and tomorrow for you and I to put into practice. Sometimes we are told what to decide, but other times we're not told what to decide. But even in those places where we're not told, you know, what it's going to happen, I want to know what's going to happen, where I have to make a decision, the Word of God helps me to make decisions and helps you to make decisions. Why isn't it that God simply just tells us exactly what we are to do? Well, it's because of God's love for us. He has allowed this and desires it because He desires for us to grow in His grace, in His goodness, and in His kindness, and to learn, as we learn this and experience and following the Lord Jesus Christ, what it says in Romans, that there's nothing at all that can separate you or I in Christ from the love of God in Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks about the new life that we have, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, the new life, the Word of God given, is as a seed. And a seed doesn't grow on its own. A seed is placed in soil, And then there are the elements as well that work to bring about growth. A seed doesn't grow on its own. Providence is the soil in which we live, and the Word of God is the water. The Word of God is the water for us. The farmer plants a seed, but God makes it grow. And so then, as the seed needs water, we need the water of the Word of God. If a seed does not receive the water of the Word of God, it doesn't grow and eventually dies. A seed cannot grow unless it drinks in the water. It needs water. It needs to take in water. And so it is also for us in our relationship to God's Word. We need the Word of God. There is one thing necessary. And if it is the case that perhaps you're here today or listening today and you've never received the Word of God, you've never received what God gives by His Word, how may you receive what God gives by His Word? It is, as Jesus says, it is by being born again. It is by being born again. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And then having been born again, if you have already been born again, you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, then you ensure that you're receiving the supply of the Word of God, the water, that you may grow, so that you will not die, so that having been born again, you keep in the Word and you are sanctified by it. So then we find the Spirit and the command at one for the building, the sufficiency for the work as well. Then we find the building is made, the building is complete. So then, as we come back to, simply to read again the verses we read from Ephesians chapter 2 in closing. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Let us pray.